Full disclosure, I had a really good set of jokes ready to go for this sermon, but now Alan's made me nervous, and so nothing... Nothing. Well, I'm from West Virginia, Alan.
But you're not there now.
They know where I am. You can take the boy out of West Virginia. many of you may very well remember, especially a few decades ago, the prominence of what we often call blue laws. Right? I see the nodding of some heads. The vestiges of which, some of which still remain in our lives and in our context, but they are more and more becoming a thing of the past. Blue laws being those laws that were instituted in local municipalities and cities, in states, even nationwide, that were meant to keep people from doing things that would not honor the Sabbath, from working on the Sabbath, selling things on the Sabbath, all those sorts of things. I found a few that are still evidently on the books for Maryland. This is, full disclosure, this is Wikipedia, so take that for what it is. But according to Wikipedia, in Maryland, some blue laws that still remain, a new or used car dealer may not sell, barter, deliver, give away, show, or offer for sale a motor vehicle or certificate of title for a motor vehicle on Sunday, except in Howard County, Montgomery County, and Prince George's County. Motorcycles are excepted from that law in Anne Arundel County, if you're looking for a motorcycle. In the city of Baltimore, a used car dealer may choose to operate on Sunday and not Saturday if it notifies the Motor Vehicle Administration in advance of its intention. And following a public hearing, the commissioners of Charles County are allowed to authorize sales of motor vehicles on Sunday. So there's a lot about motor vehicles on Sundays. In Maryland, professional sports teams are prohibited from playing games before 1 p.m. on a Sunday unless a local law or local ordinance allows it. And I'm sure the list can go on. That's what I happened to find in a quick cursory search. But of course, those who remember a day before this one, where they were much more prominent, can think of the ones that used to be but are not anymore, and can think in particular, even beyond the laws, of the cultural norms that existed that no longer exist when it comes to what one could or could not do on a Sunday. I think in particular from my own personal experience, I'm young enough to be a part of a generation where blue laws, by the time I came along, were really already on their way out, but there still were a few. And whether the laws were still around or not, there are still certain expectations amongst certain generations in particular. And I grew up in a small country church just outside of Pittsburgh. My father was the pastor there. And I remember very vividly at some point when I was in high school, I think I was either a sophomore or a junior, that the smallish but still decent-sized parking lot that was used by and used and owned by the church needed to be resealed. That work had to be done. And instead of hiring a company to do it, the session decided to hire a few of my peers, a couple of the guys from the youth group who would do that work. Well, this was the late 90s, and by that time, of course, most folks in their teen years were pretty darn busy throughout the week from school and from other extracurricular activities. And so these two young men found that the best time that they had to do this work was on a Sunday. So on a Sunday afternoon, after church had been out for quite a while, they went about the work of resealing the parking lot at the church in pretty good heat and humidity, too, by the way. I was very impressed. But I came to find, especially as the pastor's son, that that did not go over well with everyone in the congregation. There were a few who didn't bother at all, but there were also a few who were very concerned that this was allowed to have happened. And so those who were on the session got to have a lively conversation the session meeting after that took place. Because whether the rules and laws were in place, there certainly were still expectations in place. This idea that there are certain expectations of what we do or don't do on the Sabbath day, on Sunday. I find all of that interestingly ironic when looked at through the lens of the passage from Scripture today, from Mark. This story of the interaction between Mark and the Pharisees, between Jesus and the Pharisees, where the Pharisees come to Jesus with a very literal legalistic interpretation, as was how they usually operated, and Jesus had to open their eyes, or at least tried to a different understanding. I find it interesting the blue laws were so important and so ingrained in our culture when those laws were almost certainly put into place by Bible-believing Christians and Jews, and Christians in particular, who have this story where Jesus points out to the legalists that maybe that's not the most important part of understanding what it means to honor the Sabbath. This passage in Mark comes in the midst, in the second chapter, of a number of what are called controversy stories, where Jesus has interactions with his adversaries, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. This gets played out throughout Mark and the other Gospels over and over again. Jesus pitted against the religious elite over a particular issue. As I was doing some research on this passage, I came across a sermon that was preached at one point by Barbara Brown Taylor, who you've all heard me mention before. And she mentioned a conversation she once had with a friend of hers who was a rabbi. And the rabbi shared with her that he was one time visiting the Holy Land and was at a cafe in Jerusalem. And he said as he was sitting at the table in the cafe, there was another man sitting at the table next to him. And a third man came forward and came to that man and asked him, "Are you Jewish?" And the man who was sitting down said, "Yes." And the other man said, "Good, want to argue?" And so they sat down and had an argument, evidently. This is a part of that culture that has its roots all the way back to Jesus and the Pharisees. It was part of who they were and how they practiced their faith to look at the scriptures or the interpretations of the scriptures, the tradition of the synagogues and of the Jewish people, and argue about what was right and what was wrong, what interpretation was correct and which was not correct. So this is what is taking place as Jesus tries to put the Pharisees right on where they had gone wrong, where they had taken the gift that was the law of God and turned it into a burden. And they did so almost exclusively to maintain their own authority, power, and wealth. And so what he does to them is remarkable. He first points to biblical precedent and says, "You're giving us a hard time, but do you not know the story of the great king of our people, the great king of Israel, David, and his companions who went into the temple and ate the bread that they were not allowed to eat, and all on the Sabbath? And yet my disciples are simply walking along the road and picking pieces of grain to satisfy their hunger on this day." And then he turned the thing, all of it, onto its head and said to them, "You know, the Sabbath was not made for the Son of..." Humankind is not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for humankind. In other words, it is the spirit and the heart of the law that you are missing by looking so intently at the letter of the law. And this is where I think we draw the connection to the passage from 1 Samuel. Probably my fault that it was listed to cut off early. The verse following the last verse that Alan read for us this morning is the verse that I want to draw our attention to. And that is after Samuel has looked at the one son of Jesse and said, "I think this has to be the one because he's the tall one. He's the one who's oldest. He's the one in charge." The Lord says to Samuel, "Do not look upon the outward appearance, upon his height and his stature. For humankind looks at what is on the surface, but God looks upon what is on the heart." God looks at the heart. We've shared a bit about that before, preached on that message before. But I want to turn that a little bit for us and to say, if that is true of God, if God looks at the heart of humankind, then perhaps it is our task as humankind to look upon the heart of God. So often we only look to the surface of our God, which we find most often in the Word of God that is printed for us in the Scriptures. And these are good for us, but only if we are willing to look beyond what is at the surface and dig deeper to what is the heart of God. This is the challenge we often face in our Bible Basics class on Tuesday mornings when we meet and read through the Scripture and share with one another our own questions and thoughts about what it is we read on the page. We so often turn to one another and say, "But what is meant by that? What did God mean with those words? What did Paul mean with those words?" And what we're really saying to one another is, what is the heart of God that we can find underneath the surface of God that we find in these words? And I think that is the real challenge for us. It wasn't just a challenge for the Pharisees of the first century. It has been a challenge for all who have followed since. For we continue to have and to cherish and to try to live into the law and the grace of God that we find in Old Testament and New, especially as we find the interpretation of the old in the new of Christ. As grace sheds light on law, we have the challenge of looking beyond what is at the very surface, the very literal interpretation, and looking beyond to what we can try to discern with the power and the assistance of the Spirit to what is the heart of God that we can find in Scripture. That, I believe, is the great challenge for Christians in all age and continues to be the challenge for us. As the Pharisees came to Jesus with a very literal understanding of the Sabbath, and he challenged their understanding, he challenges us today. As we continue to interact with the Spirit, with the Word of God, and with our world, we are challenged over and over again to see beyond the surface. For God sees our heart. So let us seek always to find and to see the heart of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.